everything has its place.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know what I mean? Everything has its place. But to call an entire genre holding a people back, no, we're holding ourselves back.
Like, well, shit, like when you talk about like, well, motherfuckers like Wiz that say they spend like $10,000-$20,000 a month on that type of shit, then it is braggadocious.
I don't know, I listen to Wiz.
You know, I'm just saying, but there is hip hop. It's big in hip hop, you know what I'm saying? Weed and the type of weed that you smoke and this, that, and the third. So, you know, some of them do spend stupid amount of money on that shit.
I got you.
So what are some of the ways that, this music is holding us back? Because, I mean, we heard the statement and we're discussing, but what are some of the ways that it is holding us back? Because, you know, and not to put you on the spot or anything like that, Fifo, but you've said that when you listen to certain type of music like that, it motivates you because it like inspires you to try to achieve what they've achieved and try to accomplish what they've accomplished. Because you hear about the Maybach cars and stuff, you're like, damn, I'm trying to get like that. So how can I get like that? So in what ways, is the music holding us back? Like, how is it?
I just think that, okay, to answer your question, I think for me, and you know, I've tweeted it out, like, I know it may sound corny, it may sound cool to some people, but I just feel like you need a balanced diet of hip-hop. Like, you can't just be one particular category of hip-hop. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's the reason why I like a Ross, and I like the pictures that he paints to me, the way I interpret them, because having a Maybach is dope, but I probably will never be able to afford one, but that's fine. But that doesn't... It's a division of Mercedes that is Maybach, and they only make a 57 and a, I think it's a 63, which is like, it's a super executive vehicle that costs you upwards of $250,000 that you get driven in.
And it's just because there's so few of them that they're so expensive?
Yeah. Okay. It's very like...
I just want to make sure I understand before you keep going. I'm sorry.
No, it was just the way you asked the question.
Yeah. I was like, what is it?
I don't know.
like two cars.
Yeah, there's a couple.
I have a Hyundai.
This is how you asked it. Yeah. You're just like, what?
There's a couple exclusive Maybachs that have some type of convertible thing. It's like 1.2 million.
Jesus.
Yeah. Just like, you know, Bugatti Veyrons. They're like 1.5 million.
I'm not saying Bugatti's like 1.5.
No, it's different. Like, Bugatti's like the fastest production car on the planet. It costs like $70,000 just for registration every year.
Oh my gosh, it's like a sports car.
Yeah, it's super exotic.
Bugatti?
Yes.
Yeah, that should cost $70,000 for your registration. Jesus. So you're a little tagged. Yeah, $70,000 a year, nigga. So just imagine, put that in perspective. No, I'm just saying, just put that into perspective. Where if you can afford your registration to be $70,000 a year, what the hell is your income? Because $70,000 a year is pretty damn straight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just your registration. So to me, again, being realistic, I don't think I'll ever achieve that, but goddamn, you know what I'm saying? It's inspiring to have something grandiose and be like, I did this, this is mine. Yes. You know what I'm saying? I built whatever I built and now I'm able to afford this. But at the same time, you have to be realistic and listen to the problems that not only that you're having in your life, but also the problems that other people are having, because when you have issues, it's easier to talk to people with those issues. And music sometimes is an outlet like that. You know what I'm saying?
Or
sometimes,
an escape.
Or an escape. You know, sometimes I don't necessarily have to talk to somebody to get over my issues. I can listen to something and be like, damn, you know, I relate to that. All right, cool. Calm me down. I am where I need to be. You know what I'm saying? But again, like, I just think that you just need... Personally, because I don't just listen to everything that the radio feeds me. I have my own intuition, my own perspectives. I have my own brain, so I can go out and seek the stuff I need to seek for me. And I just think that that's what, as a hip hop fan, that's what you need to do. And then also support the people that you like. Now, I'm not saying, and I'll be the first one, I don't buy all my music. I buy from the people I support, the people I like. When you put out a dope project, even if I may not like you like that, and you put out this crazy, well, you know what? I'm gonna go support that one project because that shit was dope. And I think that, to me, maybe it's not right, but that's my rightness for me. You know what I'm saying? I will support whatever I feel needs to be supported.
So is that what?
Go ahead.
Okay, good.
No, because I think the thing is, when you made that comment, I heard that there could be others like you that want to actually go out and try to work to get to that level. So for them, it's going to actually inspire some type of work ethic that they may or may not have had before. So when you say, you know, when you say that you're listening to, man, this dude got a Maybach and, you know, and I want to get like that. So what am I going to do to get like that? Hopefully not anything negative, But
the second you said that, I was like, do most, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to
get that. No, I feel you, but.
Yeah, because those rappers rap about that negative lifestyle to make it there.
Here's the thing though, right? I think we're given the parenting, the aunts, the community that we live in, we're giving them a fucking pass. Mm-hmm. A little too much, and I don't really appreciate it because it's like, okay, artist, you've stepped into a role model role, and that's just the long and short of it, whether you are, you know, reluctant to be so or whether you're embracing it. However, when the fuck is your mama gonna tell you, turn that shit off? Where's your daddy at to tell you that's not what make you a man? Exactly. Where is your uncle to tell you this, this, that, and a third? Come on, man. Like, there is a truth. There should be all kinds of guidelines and quality control and things like that in hip hop. Definitely. I'm not absolving hip hop from its responsibility to the youth, but I'm not absolving these fucking parents that don't regulate. No, you're not your 15-year-old's friend. That's not what this is. You can be your 21-year-old's friend, but you gotta be your 15-year-old's parent, your 12-year-old's parent, your 7-year-old's parent, uncle, aunt. What else? You're not trying to be cool with them. There's no reason why this little girl should be dressed like her mama. No, that's not cute. That's not what we're talking about. You're absolving the parenting from being like, hey, 1 + 1 = 2. I mean, this is cool. I like the way this sounds because I listen to fucking Rick Ross. Like, and when I'm getting ready, son, you know, I'm about to go out and I'm about to dance, son. Everything has its place. Mm-hmm. Yep. You know what I mean? Everything has its place. But to call an entire genre holding a people back, no, we're holding ourselves back. Like, you can't tell me, my mom didn't let me listen to certain things. I snuck and I got my Only Built for Cuban Links. I snuck and I got my ATLians. I snuck and I got my, you know, It Was Riddance. Those were parental advisory on the damn CD, and my mama wasn't having shit like that. If she found it, she would break it and throw it in the garbage. Not because she was strict and trying to do something bad to me, but because you're not about to listen to this in my house right here. This is not the type of message I want you to have. Whether or not I agree with that or not, there has to be some regulatory boundaries on the home front before anybody can influence you to do anything. If you weak-minded, it's only because your parents is weak-minded and your friends is weak-minded. I've been picked on all my life, but I never, you know what I mean? And I've considered suicide and I've done all this shit, you know what I mean? I tried to commit suicide and luckily a friend was there. You know what I'm saying? So like things like that, if I didn't have the parenting that I had to decide, okay, well, maybe I can make this better choice. Maybe I can make a better decision. Maybe I had that foundation. These parents are not doing their jobs because they want to listen to the same shit their kids listening to. And it's like, come on, son, you got to give some of that responsibility to some other portion. Yeah. You can't call it all hip-hop.
Well, no, it's definitely not all hip-hop. It's and I don't think that's what Cudi was trying to say either. I think it's just certain aspects of hip hop that he was speaking on. But and I do agree with you that a lot of this does lie with the parents. But sometimes the parent can do everything they can and it just doesn't work. Because kids nowadays, they look at rappers more as their role models than they do their parents. And that sucks.
But that's the parents' fault.
That's not always the parents' fault, and that's my point. It's not always the parents' fault, though.
No, it's not, but it's the teachers also.
Sure.
It extends the community.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's not always just the parent, because when I was growing up, my mom had to work 2-3 jobs just to make sure we had white rice and fried chicken for dinner. So was she in the house all the time? No, because she couldn't be. She couldn't be, she had to work. Now, was I running the streets acting crazy? No, I wasn't, but that's just me. Now, if I was a different kid, if I was Chief Keef, I might have gone out there and fucked up a whole bunch of people.
But here's the thing, did your mom set those type of guidelines that you were damn near scared of her to go run these streets because when you came back?
No, I was never scared of my mother. You know what I was? I was worried about disappointing my mother. And there's a very big, it's not the same thing.
No, it's not the same thing.
When you're scared of your parents, a lot of times, that's when you go out there acting crazy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But when you're afraid of your mom pulling you aside and being like, damn, son, really? This is what you did? I thought you, that's the worst right there. That's the worst right there. I thought you were better than that. You're like, fuck! Yeah. That's 10 times worse than your mom being. Yes.
No, of course. I feel that way.
Of course.
That way to this day with my dad. 10 times worse than
my own family names got me out of a lot of shit because I had to think 2 to 3 to 4 times about what I'm about to do.
Right.
And what if this shit go bad?
Right.
You know, shit, I got away with it. Yeah. Some shit I didn't.
Yeah. I don't want this ass whooping.
Yeah. I totally don't want this ass whooping.
You know what? I don't want this, but worse, I don't want her to look at me like,
right.
Yep.
You know what?
Yeah, like.
You know what's crazy? Growing up, man, I had both. Like, because I didn't want to disappoint my mom and I didn't want my dad to whoop my ass. So it
my dad wasn't around, so I didn't have that problem.
Yeah, like, my dad was around until I got to about 16, 17, but you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the age. That's the age when you start to discover and explore and be like, well, shit, I'm grown. I could go do this. And my dad was like, hell no.
And smelly or something.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And my dad, he made sure that I was here. Like, you know, I can honestly say, like, my dad instilled some fear in me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I knew that if I did this and he caught me, oh, it was a wrap when I got to the crib. Right. My mom was mainly like, hey, you know, like, she was the one that talked to me and explained stuff to me. You know what I'm saying? So I felt like I had both of those things. But maybe that's why I think, like, they're, like, one and the same. Because it worked for me.
Yeah, sure.
It worked for me, you know, just culturally. And, you know, I didn't want to go out there and do a lot of crazy shit.
But it's kind of what you just said kind of also goes back to what Boog was saying, is that when you leave the house, because oftentimes, you know, I'll be leaving the house and you know, I just get home when I get home.
Right.
But you're in the community.
Right.
But you're in the community. You're in certain neighborhoods.
Yep.
And then, you know, you're saying there's the parents and then there's the community to back that up.
Right.
The neighborhood will get at you. Yeah, we'll get at you and go snitch on you. Yeah.
I used to get open from my neighbors and then my mother would.
Sure did.
Yep. Yep. The community. Yeah.
And here's the thing, we're not sitting here advocating motherfuckers just getting beatings and whoopings and things like that. That's not what I'm saying. It worked, but it worked for a generation of people.
Sure.
It worked for a long time. I'll say, like, the crack era. Kind of dismantled the entire black family, and we've never gotten back from that. You know what I mean?
Never there. Yep.
So you got this free reign, right?
Yep.
But grandma's not there. Yep. Grandma's 35, 40 instead of
80 something.
It's 60, 70 years old, where she would be for this age. Yep. You got a 45 year old grandma, and then now you got, you know, there's no check and balance. Everybody still want to hold on to this youth. There's no value in the eldership. There's no value in the community. That shit is hard body.
It's
so then you're running to hip hop to find that escape, and then all you're being met with is make this money. Fuck these hoes. This red bone. It's got to be a red bone. Can't be no dark skinned baby. It's got to be a red bone. She got to have a big ass. You got to have this. You got to have that. You got to have this.
How
you make that money.
You see what I'm saying? Because and that's what I said on that one question on the ask segment. It's like it's a cycle. How do you break the cycle? Because all of these rappers are saying, make this money. You know, I came up hustling, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Well, shit, that shit don't work for everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So how do you break the cycle? Is it education? Is it money? Because Ross has money, all the money in the world now. But how are you telling people to get to where you are, but talking about selling weight and shit? Like, come on, that shit is over.
You know what the issue I have with all that shit is? Like, when I hear Biggie talking about, I had to go outside and sell to feed my daughter. Of course you're doing something bad, but you have a good reason. I can look at that and I can say, you know what? I respect that. I cannot respect you going out selling crack so you can get a Bugatti. I can't respect you going out and selling crack so you can buy your girl red bottoms. I don't know what the fuck red bottoms are, but I hear people talk about them all the time. I assume they're shoes.
They're the most uncomfortable heels.
Oh, they're shoes. Perfect. I was kind of right. So I don't know if they're shoes or jeans.
About 5,000 a pop.
That's
just so that works out for you, doesn't it?
No.
So
I'm just saying, you ain't gotta wear fucking uncomfortable shit. You know what I mean? For me, just because I don't necessarily fuck with heels like that, but I feel you.
It's probably not just you. They're probably uncomfortable for a lot of people, but
they still wear them.
Yeah, but I can't.
I mean, I see bras walking around with these. Weaves, and I love a weave because I am a weave queen. Like, you know what I mean? Like, underneath it all, like, I see all this, but this imagery. Look at the women that get the guy, get the money, get the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they don't even know that they're modeling Venus Hottentot. They don't even know who the fuck Sarah Bartholomew is. They have no idea what that reference will be. But they're out here. They're doing that. Because that is what this music industry is like, pouring down your throat. It's feeding you. So you got an Ethiopian artist who's bleached her skin completely. She used to be like your complexion. Bleached her skin completely. She's got long blonde hair down in here in Ethiopia.
Wow.
Because she wants to be this girl. She's got ass injections. She's got breast implants, and she gets on TV or gets on the radio, gets in these interviews, and she's proud of all of this. She has no idea of her heritage. She has no idea who she is. She completely, like, she looks light, like the pictures of Beyonce look, like in magazines, how they lighten it
sure.
up.
Yeah.
She's that complexion, from your complexion, from bleaching her skin. Like, these are the things that if we had a community to be like, hey,
you don't have to do all that.
You already fine. Because she's gorgeous. You know what I mean? She still had the features. She still had, you know, she had a nice figure and all of that. But it was just not enough for her. It was not enough to be seen. It was not enough for that. So yeah, I'm pissed at hip hop for perpetuating stereotypes that get my brothers killed because they walking down the street in a fucking hoodie. Yeah. I'm pissed at hip hop for that shit, but that fucking does not come without community responsibility.
Yeah,
period. Period. There's no way in hell you can say that. It goes much deeper than that.
It goes deeper than what Kid Cudi said.
So it's kind of like, it is kind of on a cop-out level what he's talking about, because you're a part of that.
Exactly.
You're a part of it.
Right.
And if you're not, if you're going to continue to make these, produce these songs and write these songs and do these things that perpetuate that, that's what makes you a part of the problem. So unless you are going to be spooked by the dog, don't say shit like that. Don't, you know.
Go all in or just don't say anything.
Don't say nothing.
Yeah.
Don't say shit.
I can't, I have a hard time respecting somebody. Like, it almost, and I don't know Cudi, and I don't want to say anything bad about Cudi, but it almost seemed like it was for show almost. Like, I love everything he said, but then when I think about what I know of Cudi, it's just like, man, some of this shit just doesn't really match up. And a lot of times, I've been accused many times of reading way too far into things. I'm probably doing that right now. But that's just the way my mind works. And I'm like, I'm like, fuck yeah, Cudi, man, say that shit again. And then I'm like, wait a minute, cold-blooded nigga. I'm like, wait a minute, like, you talk about getting your dick sucked quite a bit. So it's like, are you just saying this to say this to get Arsenio's audience to clap? Or did you have a change of heart? Now, these are songs that he's written before. Maybe he's saying now, I'm realizing the damage that I've caused, and I just don't want to do this anymore. So maybe that's what he's saying, because his new album, or that mixtape, whatever that little thing that came out, I didn't hear too much of that on that. So maybe he's just had a change of heart, and I can respect that. Maybe that's why he left good music.
And then maybe that's why he,
because he didn't want to be part of that anymore.
Kids. He said maybe that's why he brought up the teenagers and how they was thinking about committing suicide and stuff. Maybe that's why he wanted to change the subject matter.
So, yeah, I was...
Maybe.
Yeah. So based off what you just said, I just have a question. So like with a Cudi, can he not talk about getting his dick sucked and, you know, maybe some of the other risque things that, you know, I'm just saying, does he all the way have to be one way?
No.
Okay.
No, but you know what though? It's
that's why I love Ralph.
because I knew he was gonna say that. I really did. I knew 100% you were gonna say that. I don't think you have to be all or nothing, but at the same time, when you're speaking that strongly against something, but then you're turning around and even half-ass talking about that and contributing to it, it hurts your credibility. Like, if you're talking about all this bitches and hoes stuff, I don't like how y'all disrespecting women, da da da, and then the next song, you know, I got my dick sucked, she sucked the shit out my dick. Like, wait a minute, man.
Maybe he's talking about his girlfriend.
But, and that's what I was gonna say, but
maybe,
but that's not how the song was portrayed.
Gotcha.
If he was saying, you know, my girl sucked the shit out of my dick, I personally would still find that kind of fucked up, but that's me. I'm not you.
So Drunk in Love then, like how we talked about
that's
the Kanye verse. You know, because again, like I said during when we had that discussion, I thought it was a bit much, you know, Kanye being pretty graphic
but
with
it. Not your girl.
And so. I, but you know, but I understood, like, you know.
But
I,
at the same time, do you
because that's that? The shit he does with Kim.
But okay, so let's say if you had a daughter, right? Would you feel some kind of way if that type of talk became the norm? You're like.
No.
That's why I said that. But that's what I'm saying. Exactly. So it's like, okay, fine, Kanye. I mean, people ate us up on what we said about that. Which, fuck y'all, whatever. If Kanye wants to talk about his girl like that, Kanye can do anything he wants. That doesn't mean I have to agree with it. Would I talk about my girl like that? No.
I feel you.
Would I want somebody talking about my daughter like that? No. My sister? No. My friend? No. Even if that is your man, if we were all hanging out and you were dating my sister, and I walk in and you tell him, B, man, Mike's sister, boy, she sucked the skin off my dick. I was like, God damn. I'd be like, I had.
I think you would have to be
the skin on your dick. You're an idiot.
I would have to be like, all right, conversation is done. Ken, let me talk to you for a minute. It wouldn't be on some like aggressive, like, what the fuck? It'd be like, man, come on, man, that's my sister. What the fuck is wrong with you? Right. And why would you want your boy to really know how good your girl is anyway?
That always seems weird. Like, that's why
Sandy,
I'm sorry.
He might try your girl.
Yep.
Right?
Man, shut up. That's what I'm saying. Nah, man. That's not what
I'm saying.
She keep going back to her level. She keep really running down what I'm saying. Like,
no,
what I'm saying is this. I feel like there should be some sort of, you know, shit. Bitches be talking about, ooh, my nigga, ooh, he do this, he do that. And then you wonder why these old sneak bitches be like,
right. Yeah. Hey, what's your number be?
I heard you did this. And it's like, you know what I'm saying? So I feel you, there has to be some sort of decorum.
They're gonna want that
4:30.
Yeah. I'm like, yo, I'm trying to get that 4:30, but I never heard about that.
Hold up, you said you're gonna be in Australia?
Yeah, for real. Look. It's on now.
Hey Kim, what you I heard Kanye was out of town.
See?
You know what I'm saying? Like,
and
I
that causes way too much.
That's just a lot.
I do, it's just,
that's true.
He probably don't do that. I mean, if you look at them together, they don't look like they do that.
Oh, no, I believe it.
Who?
I believe they do that.
Oh, man, that boy, he said he wanted to marry himself a porn star. He got the least worked porn star.
I was going to say, did y'all see that Ray J shit?
On camera.
Y'all saw that Ray J shit? Come on, son. That's not a porn star. That's a pretty girl laid out.
I feel you.
Chilling.
That's a pretty girl laid out.
Yeah, they had a session.
She was tired.
Maybe it was a bad night.
Nah, dog.
Either way. I mean, you got a daughter. Do you like? How do you feel about that? Like, how would you feel if that type of talk became the norm? Like, it's gone from I keep our bedroom shit in the bedroom to now it's okay for me to talk in public about the shit my girl does to me. Like, would you be cool with that?
No, I already told you I wasn't cool with that whole thing.
I just wanted you to get
I know they always want to.
I already told you that.
Yeah, right. I already told you, motherfucker. Ask me some old shit. Yeah, everybody always wants your opinion. I'm just saying, you would feel some kind
of
way about that, right?
Yeah, of course, man.
I feel some kind of way when I see my sisters online saying things and pictures and things. They grown. Like, one's 25, 26, the other one's 21, 22.
It's still your younger sister.
Still my younger sisters. Yeah. And I'll be like, I see your ass. I see your entire ass. And I know you do burlesque. It's cool. I get it. But I still see your ass on the internet.
That's forever.
So I got my homeboy's like, damn, who is that? And I'm like, no. Yeah. No, that's my sister. Yeah. No. Yeah. You know what I mean? Cock blocking, but unintentionally. But it's just like, nigga, I know how you get down.
Right.
Hell no, you're not about to talk. And she way too far for you to even get to her, nigga. So don't even try it. Don't even try it. But like, I feel you. There's certain things that I don't want to talk about. There's certain things that I don't want to talk about on record, in public. You know what I mean? There's certain things that where tact comes in. You know what I mean? But we're dealing in a tactless place. Mm-hmm. Everybody is desensitized. You can say bitch on TV. When I was coming, you couldn't say bitch. You couldn't say shit. You couldn't say damn on TV. Like prime time TV at 7 p.m. You can do that.
Even beyond that, killing people. The violence, killing people.
You know what I mean? All of this shit has something, it desensitizes you to. So when you see somebody or you hear somebody talking about something, yeah, that bitch is, got a fat ass, and yeah, this nigga is this, and yeah, blah, 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 let me kill this motherfucker. And you see somebody pull out a 9mm and just shoot him in the face.
And then you're surprised.
You ain't surprised.
I don't think that, again, I don't think that hip hop itself is holding us back. I think that it's the certain aspects that came with big money being inserted into hip hop and obsessing over that part of it that is becoming the problem. And I think I don't have so much issue with the music itself or even the content itself. I have more of an issue with it being so readily available to children. But at the same time, we kind of make hip hop like a young person's game, right? So you have young people talking about grown people shit. So what do you expect, you know, to happen? Of course, little kids are gonna gravitate towards this. But I mean, I agree with what everyone said. And I do think that a lot of that comes from parenting. Like when I was a kid, my mom was a social worker. And as corny as it sounds, she used to come home almost every day and make me and my brother and sister repeat after her, "I am somebody." And it's mad corny now, but think about it.
That's
like,
so
yeah, like you're making me say this, and that after you say it so many times, you start thinking like, yeah, okay. Because if your mom is telling you that, that means she believes it. Even if you don't believe it right then, she believes it. Which gives you that feeling of, I don't want to fuck that up. I don't want her to not think I'm somebody. You know, like, parents need to do more of a better job making kids understand that their worth is not determined by their wealth. And or yeah, like just push the kid up. And by wealth, I don't mean just money, I mean the car you got, you know, you being worried about having the chick with the fattest ass, you know, all that shit, that does not make you a better person. And I think that hip hop itself needs to do a better job of conveying that message. And right now, I really think that we are failing when it comes to hip hop. Underground, y'all MCs are doing what you gotta do, but like Ralph said, you're not reaching everybody. You know, we need people like the Rosses and the Kanyes and the Jays and the Big Seans to take an active part in this. Even if he does it badly, it would be cool if he still said it. You can rhyme, whatever. I'm not falling for that one, but.
And that's coming from a Detroit artist.
I know. Yeah, I know. But yeah, that's it. I don't wanna put it all on hip hop. I agree that the community itself needs to get our priorities back in place. And stop letting these rich people, rich people, make us feel bad about not being that. We don't need that to be happy.
Yeah, hip hop is holding us back as a culture. I think just to piggyback off what Boog was saying, I think that, you know, we've been desensitized over the years. And because of that, it's starting to affect how we view things. And, you know, we're becoming more accepting of it. And you know, grandparents are 35 and 40, so we're losing a lot of that real life wisdom that they can impart on some of these kids growing up. And the music is not helping with that. There are music and artists out there that do make that type of music, but they're not exposed the way that they should be, the way that we would like to hear. So yeah, it's holding us back as a culture, but as a culture, we have to do more ourselves, and we have to take it personal and get back out there and start raising not only our kids, but your neighbor's kids, you know. And so, yeah, I think we need more community involvement. We need more parent involvement. We need more just regular us just out seeing some stuff happening involvement. So, yeah, it is. Cuddy was right. It is holding us back as a culture. And, you know, we just got to continue to push forward and have these discussions and try to do what we can to reverse the trend.
Yeah, I think it's only holding us back if we allowed it to let us hold it back. You know, we just got to step up to the plate, man, as, you know, as we all have been saying, as a community, you know, parents start, and I said this before, I think we had a conversation about this, like, it starts at home with parenting, man. You got to make sure that kid knows or have some sense of between, you know, real and fantasy and, you know, all that stuff, you know, with the hip hop culture or with movies in general, anything as far as on TV and everything and stuff that you see that you're exposed to. So it really just hold, it's us that can make us hold hip hop back. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you can't just say, okay, yeah, hip hop is holding us back. We just allowing it. Yeah, we kind of allowing it to let it hold us back. So we just got to step up. That's what I got to say. We got to step up as a culture and as a community.
All right, be accountable for yourself. Be accountable for your community. And I say that to say, like, I have a
curriculum. You know, you can make it out.
That was good. I wish we could have played that whole thing out. That was good.
So, and when I say be accountable, I just mean be accountable for yourself. Like, if you can look at yourself in the mirror in the morning and be like, okay with what it is you just said or did, then okay, that you must be on the right track. And because I'm saying to be accountable, please know that I am developing curriculum for our kids so that we can read more to our kids. Read to your children. Read to your children. They want fantasy life. They want fantasy life. Get them a fucking fairy tale book. The people could fly. Start there. You know what I'm saying? Like, start inside of a book. I'm telling you. Because if all you get is, then you'll be able to tell what's real and what's fake. Then you'll be able to decipher what's a fairy tale and what's real dialogue, real prose, real poetry, real words, real life. You know what I'm saying? So be accountable for yourself. Read to your children. Practice. Practice what you preach. That's it. And it's not just hip-hop. Bigger than hip hop.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's not you know, I for the sake of the conversation, hip hop is accountable. Hip hop does hold us back, but I think it's as a whole, and I can't just say it's just hip hop. It is the community, it is the people, it is radio, it is all of these different entities play a part. It's not one particular thing. And I, you know, at the end of the day, I just think that it's all about balance. You know, I feel like you need braggadocious shit in the world, just like you need people talking about the atrocities that's happened worldwide, the atrocities that happen in our United States, America communities, in Chicago, you know, in Atlanta, in Miami, in Vegas, and everywhere. I think we need that. Like Boog said, it is social commentary, and I think that in terms of commercial hip hop, it's lost sight of that. It's only a party. And every day is not a fucking party. I party and I need that shit in my life, but I don't need it every day. Like, I go to work 5 days out the week. Like, this is part of my party right here, going to Dead End Hip Hop. Like, I look forward to this shit. You know what I'm saying? No, I do. I, like I said, I get more laughs here than I do all week. But you know, like I just feel like commercial hip hop has just lost sight of that, lost sight of what we are just as a culture. Like, we can't just always promote that as a culture. You know what I'm saying? It's not just party music. Other genres have radio stations that don't just play their version of party music. Why do we only play our version of party music and our own version of ratchetness? Like, what about everything else? There's so much other hip hop, so many messages that people need in their lives that come from hip hop. But whenever you ask somebody that isn't necessarily part of the genre, they already have a negative stereotype off rip. And that's what I feel is the worst thing about hip hop. You know what I'm saying? I feel for me it's just trying to, I know I will never change it. I think hip hop has to change it itself, but just having that negative connotation, man, when people aren't really part of the culture, you ask them and they're like, oh, you saw that. You know, it's just, but you know, we're all part of it, man. So that hip hop is doing their part to change that. What are you doing?